Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 101. Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Turlow. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. Instead of our regular episodes with Rob and myself talking about a particular topic due to the holiday season, we have a message that was preached at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church on December 24th at our evening service on Luke chapter 2, entitled Simeon's Gift.
This is God's holy and inspired word. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And thus ends the reading of God's word. I don't think I'm going to go off on a limb here too far when I say that we all like gifts. Do we all like gifts? Do we all like gifts, right? We like birthday gifts. We like Christmas gifts. We all like gifts. Most any kind of gift, really. You come up to me and give me a gift, I'm going to like it, for the most part, as far as I know, you know. And if Christmas means anything, kids, it's about getting gifts, isn't it? Right, kids? You like gifts? I've heard it more than once, haven't I? I can't wait for tomorrow. Children, is it about getting presents? It's about getting, isn't it? Tonight's Christmas Eve, about 5:30. You're looking forward to tomorrow, aren't you? Tomorrow morning, at a particular time, when your parents let you get up. You're looking forward, and you know exactly why you're looking forward to tomorrow. Because it's all about getting gifts. For children and adults alike, it certainly has become a day about getting gifts. And sometimes children, and I should say, some adults, remind me of those. I think I've used this illustration before, but it reminds me of those seagulls from Finding Nemo. You guys remember those seagulls from Finding Nemo? You remember how when those flocks of gulls saw something they wanted and the deafening refrain of mine, 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 over and over again, I remember when my own children learned that word, and in their selfishness, like their father, they cried out, "Mine, mine, mine." And I think that's even heightened at this time of year for many. I don't know, but maybe you can identify with those seagulls too, like I can. Sometimes we can become quite selfish, whether we are children, young adults, adults, or parents. We can become quite selfish. But lots of times, parents and others can get caught up in the frantic hustle and bustle of getting to stores in order to give those gifts, not always because we want to give, but because giving is expected. Or maybe you're just of the opinion that none of these things will do because Christmas is supposed to be about the birth of a child, a very special child. God and man, the God-man born to die to save his people from their sins. Well, tonight, I want to tell you about someone who gave. He didn't cry, "Mine, mine." Even though, rightly so, all created earth and heavens, he can rightly say, are mine. Yet it was his whole purpose in coming into the world to give. And not just trinkets, but treasures. He gave to give his life a ransom for many. The whole of Jesus' birth was for this purpose, to save his people from their sins. He is God, come in the flesh to save us from our sins. Are we not reminded at this time of year of this fact that our attention ought to focus upon the promises, the journey to Bethlehem, the lack of a room in the inn, the manger in the little town of Bethlehem, the angel's message of peace, and the shepherds glorifying and praising God, and Mary treasuring up all of these things in her heart. This is how Luke tells the story of Jesus' birth. And oh, there is so much more that Luke speaks of, and we'll have a chance to go over some of those things this evening. Now, I know that you know about the promises. You're familiar with Micah 5. The one to come, to hope for, will be born in the town of Bethlehem. You know of the promises of Isaiah 7. Emmanuel will come, God with us. We just sang of it. Delightful promises fulfilled. This is the one to come, the promised one, for centuries expected. Now meditate upon that history for a moment. Beginning with Genesis 3, we read the very first verses of a child of hope coming into the world. A child of hope was needed because Adam and Eve had fallen from their privileged relationship with God. Whereas once our first parents had intimate communion with their God in the garden, now their fellowship and ours as a result was broken due to their rebellion against the Lord, dead in your trespasses and sins. That fellowship broken means death, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But God promised one who would crush the head of the serpent who tempted Eve. God promised a son to remedy the fallen situation. God promised a son to remedy death, in fact, reverse it, and draw his people to himself in an intimate fellowship surpassing that of Adam and Eve with God before the fall. Isaiah's prophecy furthers God's revelation to us of the Son of promise to remedy that fall. In the midst of what must be have seemed like the end of all normal life, the promise of a particularly unique child breaks through in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. There we hear of the virgin birth of a child conceived by the Holy Spirit, whose name we're told is going to be Emmanuel, Mighty or Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And then later in the development of God's kingdom, Micah prophesies of that same child born with the government of the kingdom of God upon his shoulders. Micah speaks of this son born of a ruler, born a ruler of Israel. He will be born in Bethlehem, yet he is from long ago, from the days of eternity. And then in the fullness of time, the glory of the Lord appeared in a child. This child, this son of promise, who came into the world to remedy the fall of our first parents in sin and misery by his atoning death. This child, this king, entered the world not with pomp and circumstance, but with humility and humble form. The promise of old has come. Now, I know you know about these promises and the birth narratives of Jesus, this little one being born in such a humble and difficult circumstances, his parents driven by governmental decree from their homes in order to travel to Bethlehem for a census of all things, and there not finding an appropriate place to spend the night with an expected mother, were forced to stay in the humblest of settings. There, with their new son, they would spend his first days in the manger, an animal feeding trough. I know you know these things, these circumstances, the lowly setting of Christ's birth, as well as the magnificent, glorious setting of the angels coming to the lowly shepherds, and the mysterious magi who come from the east bearing gifts, actually worshiping this child as told to us by Matthew. All of these things are what we think about during this season, when so many remember the birth of Jesus and all that is good for us to do. But this evening I want you to turn your attention to the presentation of Jesus at the temple. Here in these verses, Luke conveys to us the story of Mary and Joseph as they brought their new son to the temple in accordance to the law. And there at the temple, Luke tells us about this patient old man named Simeon. Simeon was a man molded by devotion and hope. Luke writes plainly for us. He was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. Not only that, it had been prophetically revealed to him, as we remember from this morning, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Simeon was promised by the Spirit that he would not die until he saw the consolation of Israel he looked for, with such hope, with such expectation, you see. And now in the presentation of this little child to him, as he takes this child into his arms, as he takes his God into his arms, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people Israel." What do we see in Simeon? We see a picture of God's faithful people receiving her Messiah, her Redeemer, her Deliverer, her Comforter. We see promises fulfilled. We see whole history of the world from the old to the new. Nothing will ever be the same again. Simeon receives that which he has heard and seen by faith and hope in God and in Him alone. He is the epitome of a faithful, reconciled, and restored people of God. And having now seen the salvation of God, he is comforted, he is consoled, he is redeemed, and Holy Spirit filled. Simeon welcomes the Christ, full of the Spirit. Simeon existed, he lived, he lasted, you might say, specifically for this day, for the purpose of receiving this Christ into his arms, to embrace this little one, Simeon's God, the mystery of the Trinity all wrapped up here, you see, right? A man holding his God. Simeon lived for God alone. for the coming of God in his arm of salvation, for this Christ alone, promised to him by one who cannot lie. His life wrapped up completely with anticipation of this Messiah to come, whom he now holds in his arms. A patient man. A waiting man. Now, it's difficult for adults and young adults, and even harder for little ones, to be patient. As I think I've said to you in the past, expecting a new child is kind of like Christmas as a kid. And that hope and expectation, looking forward to Christmas Day, the day that I finally got to see all my gifts. I remember saying to Sarah, pregnant with Nathaniel, it's like Christmas, I can't wait. And it was the same with Christy and Katarina. Every day was a day closer, and the anticipation built up. And you children, I'm sure all you children, even those at heart, have that feeling right now. The day is coming, right? It's tomorrow. Why are we here? Well, we're here because we're worshiping God. But it's tomorrow when you get to tear open your gifts. All the waiting. No more need for patience, right? Just tear off that paper. That's how I felt awaiting the birth of my children. And I think many of you can identify with me on that. This wonderful gift, greater than I could ever have imagined. And that, I think, in some degree is how we might understand and feel the excitement of Simeon. At the gift he has just received, truly the gift of all gifts, waiting his whole life for this moment to see the salvation in his arms. What a gift this man has received. He didn't just have to wait with anticipation just a few days or a few months. No, Simeon is an old man, we're told, at this time. He waited with expectation and anticipation all his life, ever since he received word from God through the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah, the Christ child. And now, embracing his Savior, he can depart in peace. In so many ways, in Simeon we have a picture. And we see patterns of the church, both as an institution and both individually. Like Simeon, we await Christ's return as Simeon waited for his gift, the first coming of Christ. And that requires patience and trust for us, doesn't it? It requires trusting in God's word as Simeon trusted God's word, that revelation that was given to him. I reflected upon the birth of my children a moment ago and the expectation and excited waiting. But when, then I had, or, but then they grow, you know. You have maturing children who must also learn to be patient and wait. And we all know that waiting is not easy. And the cry goes up, how long? That sounds pious. It's not. I can't wait for Christmas. How long? Little ones see the gifts mostly for them, and they cry out, mine, 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 lunging for, grabbing for it. Essentially, it's, I know it's for me. Let me open it now. There's no reason to wait or be patient. But there is reason to be patient. There is reason to learn patience, isn't there? There is reason to hope and trust. Our children might not see it as we would like, but we are the ones who must teach them in the church to trust God's word and to trust God's Son, and to learn that being patient means waiting without complaint. And so also, as Simeon found the whole of his life wrapped up in the promises of God, do you not as well? Do we not find our whole lives formed around this one who has come and will come again? The Apostle Paul directs our whole life around the coming of Christ. Yes, the one that has come and the one who will come. Maybe I should ask it this way. Shouldn't we find our whole lives conformed around this child? Around this one born to die for his people? Paul, you're familiar with Paul. Paul expresses it this way in Philippians 2:21, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? Can we say anything less? Can you stand anything less in your own lives? After having been given such a gift as this child, who was given to you at such a great cost and with such great consequences. For Simeon tells us also that this little child is the rise and fall of many in Israel. He is a sign to be opposed. He will be a sword of division. You cannot have the creche, you see, without the cross. Simeon's song speaks to both. The joy and exuberant exaltation of the prayer is in stark contrast to the warning of the prophecy that follows. The Messiah, the Christ child, that Simeon himself, or Simeon holds to himself, is one who will be the glory of Israel, will cause division and be rejected by many in Israel. Here, you see, we have the first glimpse of the suffering servant in Luke's gospel. Jesus will be attacked. He will be rejected. He'll be scorned for the kind of redemption he brings with him. These things will bring anguish to Mary. A sword will pierce through her soul. But through all of this opposition to Jesus' ministry, men and women, boys and girls, you understand, will be brought to a point of realizing that there are only two ways to live. There's either for God or for myself. Through him, many hearts will be revealed, for him or for self. What does the Word of God say to your heart this evening about such things? We remember and celebrate today, as every Lord's Day, the life and ministry and resurrection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Tomorrow is called by many Christmas Day. It's not a holy day. We have 52 of those Lord's Days, as they're called. But it is a day that many enjoy as a celebration of the birth of the Christ child. Lord's Day by Lord's Day, we celebrate his coming into the world, God himself taking the form of man in such great humiliation and mercy toward us. We remember that it is in this one that we see salvation, salvation from our sins against the holy God. We remember that he comes to save Jews and Gentiles. Remember, though, this as well. Remember how he saves you. Remember how. Remember that we should not just think upon Jesus as the baby born in the manger. Crash. Remember that this child will grow up to die for you as a lamb led to the slaughter, cross. He had to bleed for you. Without his blood, there is no peace with God, no consolation, no comfort, no embracing of this child. Without the cross and resurrection over sin and death, without the blood shed on the cross, without the resurrection from the dead, God could not take you to himself and cradle you. He could not cradle you as his own because you would still be hardened soul, dead in your trespasses and sins. But the child brings with him salvation. Salvation for you, and salvation for me. The blood of the atonement, the Lamb of God who lay within the manger, speaks, he proclaims salvation to you precisely because he has died for his children. And that's the gift of what so many call Christmas. Parents, teach it to your children. Children, hear your parents. As Simeon takes this child into his bosom, he finds true comfort, true consolation, and everything is well with him, even though his departure from this earth may very well be near. His expectations, his anticipated gift has arrived. And he holds Jesus to himself with delight, even as the child is the one who really and truly holds on to him. And so what about us? Is it about getting or giving? It's about God's gift to you and me, his very own Son, Jesus. Is the gift Simeon receives your gift? Well, let us all then glorify and praise God, treasuring up all of these things within our hearts.